morning, all. Good morning. This is the monthly spiritual outreach call for the Order of Malta, the American Association, a call to which family, friends, members of the Order of Malta, the American Association, as well as those same parties from the federal and the Western, are invited to join in the first Wednesday of each month at 11 o'clock Eastern Time to hear a topic presented by one of our very capable chaplains. My name is Chris Rutkowski. I'm the member of the Board of Counselors who's got the happy task of introducing, moderating this call. Our speaker this morning is Deacon Jack Shea. Deacon Jack was ordained for the Archdiocese of New York by Cardinal Dolan, another good friend, in the year 2010. Deacon Shea is the Director of Religious Education, both for St. John and Paul Parish and School in Larchmont, New York. He also teaches in the Active Formation program at St. Joseph Seminary. He was made a Deputy Deacon Chaplain for the Order of Malta in November 2017 and also produces a very well done weekly reflection on the upcoming Mass readings. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when Deacon Jack concludes his remarks on the virtue of work, which is most appropriate here as we approach the Labor Day holiday. So with that, I'll pass it to Deacon Jack Shea.
Thanks very much, Chris, and good morning, everyone. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, thank you for providing us with the gift to share our talents and abilities with others. Provide our community, our nation, and our world the strength to work for all which is decent and fair. Let us be your hands and voice here on earth. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. So, my friends, today our topic is, what is the virtue of work? First, let me refer back to Sunday. In this gospel passage from Matthew, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Taking up our crosses is work, and when done for the glory of God is a virtue. So we're kind of doing what Jesus asked. Let's look at the fundamentals. First of all, a virtue is a good habit. At least this is what I teach my young students. A virtue is a good habit that helps a person live the way that God wants us to live. So if we practice the virtues, our lives will be easier. Virtues must be learned by deliberate, repeated actions, in which we are helped by God's grace. And why would work be a virtue? Well, to answer that, we need to understand what work is. When I was in the fourth grade, I remember hearing the verse about taking up my cross and thinking, gee, I can't do that. That cross is too heavy for me. In our school in Richmond Hill, Queens, they had those giant wooden crucifixes on the wall. And just looking at that, I was just a little guy. Didn't look too like something I could do. Our teacher, Sister Catherine Jerome, my fourth grade teacher, I loved her, explained that our crosses are not the same as Jesus' cross. Our crosses in the fourth grade were to pray for and with our families and do whatever work Mom and Dad gave us to do around the house and ask us. My first paying job was delivering the tablet, the weekly newspaper of the Diocese of Brooklyn in our parish of Holy Child Jesus in Richmond Hill, Queens. The papers were still delivered. I would deliver the papers on my route during the week and then go back on Friday and collect the money. This was probably around 1960, and I would have been around 10 years old. Later on, I moved up to a newspaper called the Long Island Press. I had one of those paper routes. That was the big leagues. I had a big Schwinn bike with one of those giant baskets on the front, and we would deliver the papers door to door. I mention this because as a boy growing up in Queens in the 50s and 60s, I always worked, either doing chores at home or paper routes, later on working for a supermarket. And every kid I know had some kind of a job. I did this because my parents taught me that to work was to fill a responsibility to God, to my families, and to others who needed my help. In other words, they wanted me to stay close to God in prayer and help to create a peaceful home, our domestic church, and do what we can, do what I could to help our neighbors. Mom and Dad taught us that God had given each of us Shea kids, and all people, certain talents and abilities, and we must use these to do God's will here on earth. For adults, the cross represents our responsibilities to God and to each other. When we take up our cross each day, we are agreeing to do the will of God. In other words, loving Him and loving our neighbor, just as Jesus asked. It's just that simple. We should always remember that Jesus took up His cross willingly. He knew exactly what this would mean, the pain, the anguish, and the humiliation. Yet He did what His Father wanted Him to do. And still, the night before He died, He asked His Father, "Father, if You are willing, take this cup away from Me. Still not My will, but Yours be done." Luke 22, verse 42. So our daily crosses are not large wooden crosses, but they can be heavy. Doing what God wants is not always going to be easy or popular. It can mean we have to make difficult decisions about our lives, our children, even our faith. If you saw that Sister Didi on the at the Republican National Convention, that short reflection that she gave was absolutely astounding. But it reminded us, should remind all of us, of how unpopular our beliefs can be. Clearly, it's not always easy to stay close to God in this society today. Unlike monks or nuns, most of us cannot go into a cell, a bedroom, in a monastery to get away from the craziness and noise of the world today. However, we are all perfectly capable of creating our own sort of interior cell where we can be quiet and speak with God, even in the middle of a crowd or a busy office or with your family running around the house. We can still take time out for God and just focus on Him, even if just for a few minutes. And we can talk to Him about whatever's bothering us. And also, importantly, whatever it is we think we need. And we can also, and should also, thank Him for what He does for us. This time can be just a few minutes or more at certain times each day. However, it should be time allotted to be alone with God and focus solely on Him, wherever we happen to be. And this time with God will help us to make the sometimes difficult and unpopular decisions we have to make each day. We should always try to remember that God loves us unconditionally and will always be here for us, helping to do what is right. And this just came up for me about an hour ago. I recently had a cardiac operation. I had to have my aortic valve replaced. And it was all good. It's amazing what modern medicine can do. This used to be a month-long recuperation. I was out of the hospital the next day. But there's a time now that I will be, for the next 3 months, going for cardio. It's called cardio rehab. It's exercise and stuff. You're hooked up to a machine. Make sure your heart doesn't stop while you're exercising. But what I did today was the orientation. So they ask you a lot of questions. And the director asked me this question. What do you do when you feel stress? How do you deal with that? And it took me aback, you know, because I wasn't expecting it. And I said, well, honestly, I pray. And she said, well, that's great. You're doing what you should be doing. I found out later on she's Catholic. She's got kids in school, in a Catholic school. We had a little chat about that. But there it was. When I'm stressed out, and believe me, working in a school with all these kids and with this pandemic, you can get a little stressed. Prayer is the best antidote for that. Prayer calms you right down. And I can say that. It helps me. Perhaps not in the way that I want, but God always comes through for me in one way or another, in His own time. I'll ask Him for things, and if He thinks it's right, He'll give it to me. But not immediately when I want it. And I have never won the lottery, so scratch that. God always comes through in His own time. And unfortunately, sometimes I don't realize He has helped me until after the fact, as I said. I should be more alert. In my morning prayers, I ask the Lord simply to help me to be a good father, husband, and deacon, fulfilling my responsibilities to God, to my family, and to the world. I also ask him to take care of the stuff I cannot handle. You know, in my advanced age, I'm finally getting out of the habit of realizing, of trying to do everything. I spent half of my business career running startup companies and things like that. And you're always working on your own, you know, without much support. When you're working in a parish, it's a little different. First of all, you don't have employees. You have volunteers. You have catechists and people wanting to help in your food ministry. So you have to deal with them, the people that are helping you, in a very special way, an appreciative, thankful way, because all this work is for God anyway. And when I ask God to take care of the stuff I can't handle, he comes through. Here's an example. Last year, 2019, I was leaving CCD. I just finished the night session on a Wednesday night. It was the night before Valentine's Day. I walk out the door of the school, the lower door of the school, and the street was covered with black ice. You couldn't see it. I stepped out and immediately did a 180 on my right leg. Fell down, and you know, all the mommies were there to pick up their kids. They threw me into some one lady who happened to be a physical therapist, threw me in the car and took me to White Plains Hospital. Long story short, I was out of it for about a week and a half where I couldn't walk at all. And we have a pretty heavy food ministry here. And my pastor was telling me that I had to get more help. And I kept saying, I do it. And I didn't do it. Well, word got out about me falling down and I started getting emails and texts from people that they wanted to jump in on the food ministry. And it was great. This was God's work. This was God's encouraging those people to help me. And what developed out of that, and it has a big bearing on this pandemic, what developed out of that was a real strong food ministry where we help 2, 3, 4 places in our area, New Rochelle, Larchmont, Mount Vernon, and a place called Part of the Solution in the Bronx, at the Order of Malta helps as well. And and people now, during the pandemic, have stepped up their giving for the groceries that they provide for these places tremendously. Sunday, we'll probably collect about 7 truckloads, SUV loads of food, and we'll deliver that on Monday. And it's going to families, young families in our area, mostly Hispanic, with children, young children. And these are people who worked in the restaurants and the shops and lost their jobs because of the pandemic, because all those places are closed. It's terrible. And the line of people for the food that they give out each Wednesday is extremely long. It's heartbreaking, as a matter of fact. But slipping on the ice and asking God to help me has paid off. We have plenty of people helping. Okay, enough about me. Let's go back to what work means. It's usually activity that a person engages in regularly to earn a living, so that the mortgage can be paid, the rent can be paid, food and clothing purchased, tuition paid. The list is long. Now, where did all this start? Well, you have to go back to the book of Genesis and Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And here's what Moses says. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. That's the first mention of work in the Bible. Unfortunately, as we know, Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and ate the fruit of the forbidden tree and were evicted from Eden, as it says in Genesis again. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat its yield all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bear for you, and you shall eat the grass of the field. By the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread, until you return to the ground from which you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So there you have it, folks. It's all Adam's fault. That's why we have to go out and work. So we know from that, in the beginning, work was growing crops, hunting and gathering, in order to be able to eat and survive. And then later on in history, work also became the services performed by workers for wages. For example, St. Joseph, the father of Jesus, the foster father of Jesus, was a carpenter. We call him the carpenter. He was actually, a better term for that would be Joseph the worker, which is how the church celebrates him. Because in the first century in Nazareth, he would have been doing everything, not just working with wood. He would have been building houses. He would have been making furniture. He would have been doing anything to make a buck or a shekel. He was a real hero. But I think that St. Benedict, the founder of the monastery way of life in Europe, rather codifies work as a virtue. And he stated in his rule, the rule of St. Benedict, he said this, idleness is the enemy of the soul, or laziness. And therefore, the brethren ought to be employed in manual labor at certain times, at others in devout reading, meaning prayer. And actually, the motto of the Order of St. Benedict, the original monks, is in Latin, ora et labora. The phrase means to pray and work. Ora is pray and labora is work or labor. And it refers to the Catholic monastic practice of working and praying. Benedict viewed prayer and work as partners and believed in combining contemplation with action. The phrase expresses the need to balance prayer and work in monastic settings and has been used in many religious communities from the Middle Ages onwards. And I think it applies to all of us, not just monks in the monastery. We'll come back to this later on. I got a good look at this during my ordination retreat 10 years ago this June. The retreat took place at Mount Savior Monastery in Elmira, New York. My classmates and I drove there on a Monday for a week-long retreat with the Benedictine monks. Part of the rule of St. Benedict is hospitality, and so guests are welcome at the monastery. While we were there, we spent each day following the monastic schedule of the Divine Office, also known as the Liturgy of the Hours, attending Mass, contemplation and silence, and reflection. And we also joined the monks in their daily work when allowed. In the Office of Readings, or the Liturgy of the Hours, Benedict used the Psalms, the very songs and poems from the Jewish liturgy that Jesus himself had prayed. To join the voices with Jesus in praise of God during the day was so important that Benedict called it the work of God, and nothing was to be put before the work of God. The Psalms are chanted by the monks, and since we didn't know how to chant, we were just asked to listen and follow along from the breviary. It was quite inspiring to listen to those monks chant the Psalms. It was really a really inspiring experience. Their voices were so beautiful and so, what to say, almost relaxing. You would feel a sense of calmness come over you just listening to them and then reading along in the book. These are the prayers that are said every day by many people throughout the world, especially clergy, in the Liturgy of the Hours. In the rule, Benedict states, the rule of St. Benedict, immediately upon hearing the signal for the divine office, all work will cease. Benedict believed with Jesus that one does not live by bread alone, but at every word that comes from the mouth of God, from Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. The signal at Mount Savior is the ringing of the church bell, and the monks would stop whatever they were doing and come from the fields or from their office and meet in the chapel to pray together, and we had the good fortune to be invited to be with them. A day at the monastery is centered on seven times of prayer. The day starts with vigils or the office of reading at 4:45 in the morning. Then morning prayer, known as Lord's, is sung in the upper chapel at dawn, around 7 a.m. Around 9 a.m., the Holy Mass is celebrated. At noon, we'd have another prayer, and again in mid-afternoon, and then evening prayer, which is known as Vespers. And concluding the day, we would come once more together to sing Compline, consisting of three psalms accompanied by a brother named Brother Pierre with the harp. Let me tell you a little bit about Brother Pierre. He was also the sheep herder. He was the shepherd. See, Mount Savior, like all monasteries, has to be self-sufficient. And Mount Savior was originally a prize-winning dairy farm. That was when they had plenty of monks. When they started having less and less monks to take care of the cows, they switched to sheep, because sheep do not need as much tending as the cows did. They certainly don't need to be milked. Brother Pierre from Montreal, Canada, became the shepherd. So since my wife's Canadian, I made a real special effort to talk to him. And I said, well, are you from Eastern Canada? He said, Mom, I'm from Montreal. Oh, do you like sheep? I hate sheep. Well, why are you the shepherd? Because that's what I have to do. If I tend the sheep, they let me be the leader of song and play the harp. Okay, whatever you say, brother. Can I go out with you someday? He says, yeah, I'll take you out with me on my rounds. And he may not have liked the sheep, but the sheep loved him. As soon as we went into the pasture, they either smelled him or heard him or whatever, but they'd come charging over to be with good old Brother Pierre. But that was impressive, but not as impressive as his musical ability. And I just checked him out on the monastery website, and he's still there. Those guys, those monks, work all day. They do, whether they're tending the sheep, tending the orchards, where they grow fruits and vegetables, cutting the wheat. It's really not an easy life, but it's a life that they chose because they can be close to God. The whole point of the monasteries originally was to work and to pray and be alone with God. Some monasteries, perfect example, the Cistercians, that don't even talk to each other. In fact, at the meals in the monastery, the only person that speaks is the abbot, the leader of the monastery, or somebody who was chosen to read perhaps a spiritual reading for the day. But for the rest of the time, they use hand signals with each other. If you want to pass the butter or pass the salt or something like that, it's quite an experience. Let me give you two statements from the Apostolic Constitution, which tells us the value of the Liturgy of the Hours, the Divine Office. Number one, the purpose of the Divine Office is to sanctify the day and all human activity. Number two, the office is the prayer not only of the clergy, but of the whole people of God. Now, this is important for all of us, because while we can pray any time, it's easy to forget to pray. And what helps us in that way is to make an appointment to pray. For example, we'll be talking about the Liturgy of the Hours. Those are specific times of the day. Today, in this time, it's 9, noon, and 3 p.m. The Liturgy of the Hours is a mix of scripture passages, psalms, and prayers that help us get through the day. So I put these times on my phone when I started reading when I was in formation back in a long time ago, 15 years ago. And so I get the thing, it reminds me that there's a prayer to be said, and I can go to the liturgy on the phone. It's very nice. You can do this at home. You can do it any way you want, your office. Sometimes it's not convenient, but I find it helpful. Regardless, we should try to make prayer part of our daily routines. And any kind of prayer is fine. The point is, God is always there to help us, but we need to make the first move. He'll meet us where we are, but we have to be ready to meet him. And God will not force us to approach him. That part's on us. As I said at the beginning, a virtue is a good habit that helps us to do the will of God in our lives. A virtue becomes a habit when it is practiced over and over again. We have to work at it until it becomes second nature to us. Benedict knew 1,500 years ago that hard work and prayer stand together. When we use our God-given talents and abilities the right way, we are doing what is pleasing to God. When we couple that with prayer during the day, staying in touch with God, we have everything covered. What does the Bible say about work? Well, we heard from Genesis before. Honest work is something God wants from all of us. God's words tell us that working honestly and faithfully can lead to great things, as he has planned for us. As we read in the Gospel of Matthew, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And from John, the Gospel of John, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, the Father, God, has set his seal." And Paul, writing to the Colossians, "Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving." And then from the letter of James, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." It's from the James chapter 2, verse 26. Very important. So I'll finish with this. As St. Benedict taught, we need to balance our days between prayer and work. Sometimes, especially for people who are retired, the two are combined. Sometimes our work can be praying for our spouses and our children and our grandchildren, being a prayer warrior. The point is, while we are still here on earth, we always have something to do for God and for our neighbor, whether it is going to work every day to put food on the table, volunteering in a soup kitchen, or praying for us, for each other. God expects us to do our jobs. He gives us the grace to accomplish this, and we, as his children, should take advantage of it. Prayer and work go together. It's not so much which prayers we pray. I believe that it is more important to make it a virtue by doing it consistently, whether it's the Liturgy of the Hours, the shorter Magnificat version of the Liturgy, the Rosary, or just a quick prayer thanking God and asking for himself. As St. Paul said to the Thessalonians, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in all circumstances give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." Now may Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks, Chris, for moderating this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Deacon Jack. Thank you so much. Gave us an awful lot to think about and an awful lot to pray over. I had mentioned before Deacon Jack became his comments that he does offer a Sunday update, a weekly reflection of the Mass readings, and he'd be happy to provide that reflection to anyone who's interested if they were to email him. And the email address, I'll say it here, it's jsea@sjpparish.org. And to the extent that that might not have been clear enough, the email address will be attached to the recording of today's call that will appear on the Order of Malta American Association website either later today or tomorrow. So please refer any of your friends, family members who are unable to make this call in real time to listen in to the website. And if you are interested in receiving Deacon Jack's weekly Sunday updates, please avail yourself of the email address that will also be linked to that recording. And I'd like to remind you that our next call is scheduled for October 7th, so I guess it'll be 5 weeks from today, when Father Paul Hartman will be with us to discuss how to explain the rosary to someone who does not know about it. Another interesting topic. So, again, thanks to Deacon Jack. Thanks to all of you who participated in today's call. Have a wonderful last semi-official week of summer. Enjoy your Labor Day holiday, and I look forward to being with you all again in 5 weeks' time. Have a great day.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.